Today with Joseph Prince.
God is saying, if your high priest is good, you are good. Who is your high priest? If he is good, you are blessed.
As a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry, receive this brand new teaching resource, Winning the Battle Spiritual Warfare Kit. Discover how God's grace is the key to experiencing victory over the negative circumstances in your life as you read, listen to, and feed on this book and CD resource.
Whether you like it or not, you are in a war. The devil has declared war against you, but don't worry. God also gives you special attention. You are marked for protection, marked for life. Amen.
Request this resource today, and you will also receive a bonus sermon on Psalm 91. Discover how God wants you to live protected from all types of danger in our world today. And for a gift of $95 or more, receive this power-packed 4-DVD album, Breaking the Barriers to Your Blessings.
You want good things to happen in your life. You want the blessings of God to manifest in your life. You got to believe it first, and then how do you release it? You speak. How does the spirit of faith operate? I believe, and therefore I spoke.
Request your copy today. Call us toll free at 877-769-5433 or visit us at josephprince.org.
How are y'all doing tonight? I'm telling you, LA crowd is amazing. Amen. It's like coming home. And I'm telling you, there is a revolution going on all over the world, and especially here in America. It's called the Grace Revolution. And the tide is sweeping everyone. And there are people can't, you know, they can't even stand still because the grace of God is just carrying them. They are no longer moving at will. It's been borne along. Amen. And what is our part? Receive. So many a times we frustrate the grace of God when we want to do so much, when God just wants us to receive and receive much. You know, one of the things that we have been accused of is people saying things like, you know, they don't preach repentance. But actually, when you stop your wrong thinking, your wrong believing, and start saying, God wants to bless me. God has a tidal wave of grace for me. Do you know you are repenting? Do you know you are changing your mind? Do you know that in at least in my church, repentance is going on all the time? Now, you might not have people coming up and saying, Jesus, Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I'm not belittling that. I'm just saying you can go through all that and still not have your mind change. For you have not heard anything to cause your mind to change. But when you hear someone preach the word and he's giving you material from scripture and you are changing your minds all the time, repentance is going on all the time because the word repentance is change of mind. You know, one day I was reading Luke 15, where it talks about, then drew near all the publicans, the tax collectors, and the sinners to hear Jesus. In that parable of the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son, Luke 15. I was very intrigued because at the time I asked the Lord to help me to define repentance in a new covenant way, and he brought me to the lost sheep in Luke 15. In Luke 15, there was a shepherd. Do we have that scripture here? There was a shepherd who lost a sheep. Okay, that's one scripture we don't have, so I'm going to tell you a story. You all know, you are familiar with the parable. He lost one sheep out of 100. And the Bible says this good shepherd leaves the 99, goes out, starts seeking for that lost sheep. When he finds it, he takes it and puts it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Look at the style. Rejoicing. All right? And then, not only that, he brought the sheep back and called all his friends and says, rejoice with me. Let's party, for the sheep that was lost has been found. And then Jesus said something profound. Jesus said, Truly I say to you, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than 99 persons who need no repentance. So obviously that illustration was to point out that this parable is about repentance. But when I studied the parable, I was looking at how the sheep repented. And I could not see it, but Jesus ended that parable by saying, there is joy over one sinner that repents. He used the word, that sinner repents, that lost sheep repents. But when I was trying to study how the lost sheep repents, all I saw was the good shepherd. The good shepherd left the 99. The good shepherd went out. The good shepherd sought. The good shepherd found. The good shepherd took it and put it on his shoulders of strength. And the good shepherd was rejoicing. And the good shepherd said, come on people, rejoice with me. You know what, I asked the Lord, so how did the sheep repent? The Lord says, this is repentance. When you consent to be saved, when you consent to be loved, when you consent to be carried by my arms of strength and be embraced by my strong hands of love. When you consent, you allow me to, that's repentance. And there is more joy over that kind of repentance than the other legalistic kind, because don't forget, Judas Iscariot, in the old King James, it says he repented when he saw that they want to do harm to Jesus. He realized that Jesus isn't defending himself. He said, the Bible says he repented. He threw the money down. He says, I've betrayed innocent blood. But how many know he's lost? Because he did an act of self-righteousness. He hung himself. So that is self-righteousness, and self-righteousness is the mother of all sin. You know, when Jesus taught on faith, Jesus cursed the fig tree that bore no fruit, only fig leaves. Jesus cursed that fig tree before he taught on faith, the faith of God. In essence, he's saying, you have to curse the fig leaves of self-righteousness before faith can operate in your life. Because the first mention of fig leaves is when Adam and Eve covered themselves with salad dressing. Fig leaves. Remember that? They covered themselves with fig leaves. Now, Jesus cursed the fig tree bearing fig leaves. What is he cursing? Self-righteousness. Bloodless sacrifice. If you want faith to operate in your life, curse self-righteousness in your life. Renounce it in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, Romans 5:19 tells us, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. By one man's obedience. I said by one man's obedience, not your obedience, y'all. His obedience. How are you righteous today? His obedience. Is it my obedience? No, his obedience. Well, Pastor Prince, we have to be obedient people. The thing is this, friends, if you believe right, that his obedience made you righteous, right believing will always lead to right living. You don't have to worry about right living. Just preaching on right living does not necessarily produce right living. When you preach right living doesn't mean you produce right living. In fact, you produce fear and guilt when you don't measure up. But when you preach Jesus and there's right believing in what he has done, amen, there'll be right living. Hallelujah. Now, the essence of the battle, the warfare that we have today, is that the devil is trying to bring our focus away from Jesus and his obedience that made us righteous. It is his obedience at the cross that made all of us righteous. So the warfare is this, 2 Corinthians 10. All right, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, it's not palpable, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and watch this, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The warfare is to bring every thought to focus on the obedience of Christ. All right? This is what it says in the Greek, in your Old King James, in your New King James. Some new translation says, bring every thought to obey Christ. No one can do that. It is to the obedience of Christ. Bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. Focus on that one man's obedience. The devil will say, look at yourself. You've not obeyed enough. Look, are you obedient? That's why you're not getting this blessing. How can you believe God for healing? How can you believe God for provision when you are not right with God? Remember last night what happened? You disobeyed God. He's going to focus you back on you, on your obedience or the lack of it. Even when you obey, he says you have not obeyed enough. When you disobey, he sounds the trumpet and a clarion call from the rooftop saying you have disobeyed. He's the accuser. His job is to accuse. Are you listening, people? And many a times we don't know what to do with our thoughts. You know, the devil doesn't come to you pointing out to you, you are an addict. You have an eating disorder. You are depressed. He comes in the personal pronoun. He puts in your thought, I am an addict. I have an eating disorder. I am depressed. Nobody loves me. He'll put that thought as if you are thinking it. Are you listening? All right? And the moment you accept that thought, that's when he got you. Are you listening, people? The devil he's so subtle. He will say, look at that lady. Why do you think she's in church? You know why. She's out here looking for a husband. And then after he puts that thought in your mind, he backs away. He knocks you on the head and says, you are in church. Call yourself a Christian. Look at the thought in your head. And then you are like, la, 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 la. You know, you are saying, what hit me? He plays mind games with you. Are you listening? Now listen, I'm going to share with you something that I think is going to bless you, going to help you. All right? The Bible says, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Our high priest, today Jesus, think about it. He walked on this earth for 33 years, but he's been in heaven for 2,000 years as our high priest. We need to know what he's doing at the Father's, in his session at the Father's right hand. Number one, why is he there? On what grounds is Jesus there? Well, Pastor Prince, he's the Son of God. Yes, but that's not the reason why God raised Jesus from the dead and set him at his own right hand. Look at Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1 tells us Jesus being the brightness of his glory and the express image of the Father's person, upholding all things by the word of his power. Watch this. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. In other words, he sat down having successfully purged our sins. Or else he'll never sit down. He has done it, and the efficacy lasts forever. Now listen, that's the reason he sat down. He's always the Son of God. But he did not sit down as the Son of God. He sat down having purged our sins. Having finished the work, he sat down. That's our divine receipt, that all our sins are put away. Now, the high priest is not there in front of God, beside God, for God's benefit. He's there for our benefit. Hebrews 5 verse 1 says, every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men, appointed for men in things pertaining to God. Say for men, say to God. All right? So he's appointed for the benefit of men, to God. Let's say God is in front of me here in the Holy of Holies and all of you are behind me. I'm representing all men's profit, benefit. All right? I represent you to God. A prophet, on the other hand, is there for God, to men. The Bible doesn't say Jesus in the book of Hebrews is our prophet at the right hand. He is a prophet, but he's not a prophet at the Father's right hand. He's our high priest. For men, to God. And in the economy of Israel, it's like this. God looks at the high priest. Just like the victory of David is the victory of Israel over Goliath. All Israel didn't have to fight. They had a representative to fight for them. His victory would mean their victory. His defeat would mean their defeat. So the high priest, when the high priest is there, all right, it's like this. How good the high priest is how God will accept the people. If the high priest is bad and he collapses and he falls dead in the holy of holies and they drag him out, they can look forward, the people of Israel can look forward to a bad year of enemies conquering them, of drought. But if the high priest comes out alive, they can look forward to a great year of blessing, abundance, and fruitfulness. Are you listening? The problem with Israel is that they may have a good high priest now, but he's getting old. And his son, Goldberg, has been running around partying. And he's the successor. So the thing is that their security is never eternal. Their joy is never unceasing because their high priest dies. But people, we have a high priest after the power of an endless life. He's a high priest forever. After the order of Melchizedek, forever. Forever is pretty long time, man. Amen. God is saying, if your high priest is good, you are good. If I accept your high priest, I accept all of you. And who is your high priest? Is he good? Do you reckon he's good? If he is good, you are blessed. Amen. If he is accepted, you are accepted. Ooh. And he lives after the power of an endless life. So our joy is forever. Our peace is unceasing. Now, if peace in your life is tied up somehow with your behavior, it will be broken before the day is over. But if your peace and your joy is wrapped up in your high priest, oh, as your high priest is. Come on, 1 John 4. As he is, so are we when? When we die and go to heaven one day, in the sweet by and by? No, as he is present and so are we in this world. Is he accepted? So are we in this world by God. Is he under God's unclouded favor? So are we. Is he under God's grace and free favors? So are we. I'm going to close with this. The high priest. There is something he has on his head called the golden plate. Every piece of the high priest's garments tells a beautiful redemptive story. Look at the golden plate on his forehead. All right? There is this engraven on the golden plate are these Hebrew words, Kodesh Le Yahweh, which means holiness to the Lord. Now, what is the teaching here? What does the Holy Spirit endeavor to teach us about the golden plate of the high priest on his forehead? Let's read in Exodus 28. It says, so it shall be on Aaron's forehead. Aaron is the first high priest. He's a type of Christ, our high priest. This golden plate, holiness to the Lord, must be on Aaron's forehead. It's a picture of his thoughts. And Jesus' thoughts are always holy to the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. It shall be on Aaron's forehead that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel hallow in all their holy gifts. Stop. Do you know that in your greatest times of praise and worship, there is iniquity? Do you know that? Do you know in your greatest service, there is sin? Do you know in your greatest performance, whatever it is that you're doing for the Lord, there is sin? Do you know? But we don't have to stop and worry about it. You know why? Because our high priest bears it. All right, he will hallow all the holy gifts, and it shall, this golden plate, holiness to the Lord, shall always be on the forehead of the high priest, that the people of Israel, in our case, all of us, may be accepted before the Lord. His forehead, as long as his thoughts are holy, we are accepted. God did not say, as long as your thoughts are holy, you will be accepted. God says, as long as your high priest's thoughts are holy, you are accepted. And this word accepted in the Hebrew is a word ratzon, which means you will be delightsome, you will be pleasurable to the Lord. Hallelujah. As long as your high priest, his thoughts are always holy, you are always accepted. You are always pleasant, pleasurable to the Lord. And when you come with your praise, you come with your worship, you come in prayer, you come to serve the Lord, don't worry about your thoughts. God is not looking at your thoughts to judge you. God is looking at your high priest. And who is our high priest? Do you reckon his thoughts are always holy? Always? Then you are always accepted. Hallelujah! Right believing always leads to right living. And church, it's all because of Jesus. You know, Jesus said one time to the people around him, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He came as a divine stranger. The world didn't understand grace. The world understood law. When Jesus looked at the Pharisees and the Jewish people and said, you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. It wasn't the law. They already had the law. They were trained from young to know the law. The truth that would set them free that Jesus brought is grace. And Jesus says, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now the Greek word lay his head is a seldom used word. It's called kleno. And it's used one other time in the setting of the cross, where Jesus hung on the cross in the book of John, Gospel of John. And after he cried, it is finished! Every sin forgiven, every debt canceled, Satan defeated, God glorified. When he cried that, the Bible says, watch this, he bowed his head. The word bow his head is the word rest. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay. The same word. He finally found his rest in loving us, in redeeming us, in saving us. Amen.
As a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry, receive this brand new teaching resource, Winning the Battle Spiritual Warfare Kit. Discover how God's grace is the key to experiencing victory over the negative circumstances in your life as you read, listen to, and feed on this book and CD resource.
Whether you like it or not, you are in a war. The devil has declared war against you, but don't worry. God also gives you special attention. You are marked for protection, marked for life. Amen.
Request this resource today, and you will also receive a bonus sermon on Psalm 91. Discover how God wants you to live protected from all types of danger in our world today. And for a gift of $95 or more, receive this power-packed 4-DVD album, Breaking the Barriers to Your Blessings.
You want good things to happen in your life. You want the blessings of God to manifest in your life. You got to believe it first, and then how do you release it? You speak. How does the spirit of faith operate? I believe, and therefore I spoke.
Request your copy today. Call us toll free at 877-769-5433 or visit us at josephprince.org.
Dear friend, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with you. Thanks to the support and prayers of our JPM partners, so many more people are discovering the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. But there is so much more to be done, and if you're not yet a JPM partner, I want to invite you to be part of this important work. If this precious message of grace has touched your life, will you pray about being a JPM partner today?
So many people, believers included, are still living lives of defeat and brokenness. Your response will allow many more imprisoned by guilt addictions, sickness, and depression to discover the message of God's grace and experience their breakthroughs.
Friend, as you prayerfully consider joining us as a partner, know that Wendy and I are praying for you to experience the Lord's grace and peace in every area of your life. God bless you.
Thank you, Joseph Prince Ministries partners, for your prayers and generous support that help us broadcast the gospel into millions of homes around the world.
Today, we thank God the gospel of Jesus Christ has transformed everyone under the sound of it. And that's the reason for the TV ministry. Broadcast from the housetops to all the four corners of the earth. Amen.
If you've been blessed by today's message, we invite you to partner with us to send the gospel of grace to the nations. Call us toll-free at 877-769-5433 or visit us at josephprince.org/partner today.
There was a lot of us that were crying out to God saying, "You've got to send us an answer because we know that this is not the true gospel, but we just don't know where we don't get where we're missing it." And so I think it took all of those prayers to bring a man from Singapore into America. And so everything that Pastor Prince is preaching about Jesus Christ is applicable to every situation. When I wake up in the morning, I expect good and not evil. I'm not waiting for the second shoe to drop. It's not dropping. Through his teaching, you'll just learn to trust God at all times. Even when you stumble and you fall, you know that you and God are still close, that there's no space in between you all at all. If you want to be set free, if you want to know that God is for you, if you want to understand all of the different dimensions of Christ and why it's applicable to you today, then you want to listen to Joseph Prince's ministry.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.